You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Corey Parson, what's happening, man?
Yo, what's good with you, Greggy? How's everything?
Not much. I'm good, man. No complaints.
Right? Good. I feel good this morning. Another day closer to Championship Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have some good stuff planned for us to talk about today.
We have some fun planned for the show. I'll go over that in a moment. Wall Street, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm loving the optimism from Eagle fans.
Oh, God.
I was speaking to Andy Saxton last night on the phone, and he's telling me the ways they can win. I just don't see it. You know, if they had won, it would be an epic game. I think they get smashed.
But don't you, like, shouldn't you have that optimism if you're an Eagles fan? Like, you shouldn't be like, it's all doom and gloom. Like, we suck. We're going to lose. And the NFC Championship game at home. Like, you should kind of be optimistic, no?
No, I'm saying there's a chance. But
you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
I mean, they are still the Minnesota Vikings.
Case Keenum could have a terrible game. They have a very good defense, especially at home. But I just think Minnesota's look, we saw Nick Foles have one good drive last weekend. And against this Minnesota defense, which doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't get enough respect, you know, especially that secondary with the two all pros. I don't see how Nick Foles is going to be a good quarterback this weekend. How he's going to have the opportunity?
Yeah, you know, I've said it all along. I kind of like Minnesota. We'll go over picks on Friday. Nick Foles, I don't trust at all. But again, as an Eagles fan, you want to stay optimistic. Corey?
Well, yeah, no, I was on this morning. As a matter of fact, I was on the subway, and a young lady kept peeking over at me. She had a hood on. She took her hood off. She had an Eagle hat on. I was like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here, lady. Give that up.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Get out of here, indeed. So on the show today, we'll take a look, of course, some of the headlines, football and baseball. Another fight in the NBA last night, which is just like,
it's
getting tense. This is getting tense, and I feel like this is not exactly the way they want to promote things.
No. No, it's not.
Being honest.
Considering.
So we have that to go over. Like I said, the headlines, some baseball I want to get into, of course, some football, some basketball, and then what we're going to do in the 8 o'clock hour, probably hour number two, we're going to play the Weakest Link today. I think we're going to bring Chris Venture upstairs.
Oh Lord, that guy's a nut.
I think we're going to bring Chris Venture upstairs. We're going to get Don Burns' microphone on, and we're going to play the Weakest Link.
Oh, Donnie Burns is going to be with us too.
How about that?
That's cool.
We're going to see everyone's knowledge about the MLB, the NBA, the NFL, and other things that we got to offer.
To quote Nando,
yes.
It'll be fun.
It will definitely be fun. I'm very excited to see where everyone's heads are at, how much they know, how much they don't know. And we'll see. So that's kind of the plan on today's show. Of course, we'll give you birthday shout-outs during hour number three, including some big birthdays today. So some very important ones in our nation's history. So we'll do that throughout the next 3 hours. When we come back, conspiracy theorists say Bill Belichick's brother is the one that hit Leonard Fournette. That's unfounded. He did not. But that's what Patriot fans, that's what Jaguar fans are thinking. We'll talk about stuff like that when we come back. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Here with you, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And as I said, kind of going to break, Did you read about this Leonard Fournette accident yesterday?
No, break it down for me, please.
So he gets in a car accident.
Oh, boy.
And I see this, and I'm like, oh, God.
It was a fender bender, of course.
It was a fender bender. Okay. He's fine. He was good enough that he was out signing an autograph with the person that hit him, or he hit, afterwards. Like, he signed the autograph.
Mm-hmm.
The rumor immediately was like, "Oh God, someone of the Patriots. They did this. They were out to get him."
I can see that.
Can you though? Like, this is how far we've come with the Patriots that you go that far.
I know how the New England Patriots are. I've seen this before.
Have you? Then they're gonna hit somebody.
They cheat. They're cheaters. I don't think they're gonna go far as to send somebody to Jacksonville to randomly run into Leonard Fournette's car. But you never know.
That's what's crazy is that you could have the belief, like, you never know when it comes to the Patriots. That's weird.
Yeah, conspiracy theories and all that kind of craziness. Hey, look, the guy got into an accident. Luckily, no one was hurt. It was kind of funny that he signed a bumper. Like, what are you doing with a bumper?
Right.
You got like a junkyard in your back.
Right. Let's get into Drew Brees here for a moment, who you kind of just talked, you brought up at the top here, Matt. Now, year after year, when Drew Brees is a free agent, or year after year, the few times been a free agent, he's never taken a discount, right? Like, he's always held up the Saints for essentially the max.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, he's, interestingly enough, not playing that leverage game, right? Like, this year, he's not being like, all right, I'm a free agent, I'd like to be back here, but I can't promise you that. Or he's not at 40 years old or 39 years old. He's not threatening to retire. He's just like, yeah, I'm not testing the market. I'm going to be back with the Saints. We have work to do. And he's immediately doing that, which is very, very unlike Brees, and it's very unlike the Saints. Matt, you kind of noted at the top that you think there's a number in mind, this deal is done. Why now for Drew Brees? What makes it different?
Well, I think age plays a factor. He's at the point in his career where, you know, maybe he's got a couple of years left. He's on a very good team. They crushed the draft last year, even hit on free agency. Everything, you know, it was a perfect storm of perfection, actually, is what it was. So, looking at it, you got Kamara, you got Ingram, he's got Michael Thomas. He has a number one wide receiver. You can always get that second guy to fill in there, whether Ted Ginn comes back, or Willie Snead re-energize his career. So, you know, if you were just saying today, who's going to be a playoff team next year? I think the Saints have to be one of them you're going
right
to pick. So he's in a perfect situation. He's comfortable there. Like, you're going to leave now, and where are you going to go? You're going to go chasing money. He's made enough money over his career. It's not like you want to go end up on a team that's rebuilding or something like that. So I have to think, you know, he reached the point in his career where it's like, you know what? I'm in this perfect spot. Just give me a good number, which I'm sure they have in mind, because the way Peyton was talking, the way Brees is talking, this seems like it's already a done deal.
Yeah, I agree. And I think my favorite story to come out of yesterday with New Orleans isn't even this Drew Brees conversation, Corey. It's heel Sean Payton.
Didn't he do something with the Vikings fans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after, and I said this yesterday, after Will Lutz hit the field goal, Sean Payton just started doing the skull.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the
backfired.
Second time this year that he's like, kind of been like that, not at Minnesota, but the second time this year that he's taunted the other fan base.
Who else they do it to?
Now I'm forgetting. You were going to ask me that.
Sorry.
Like,
but now, yeah, but I guess, let me, it backfired on Sean Payton. You feel what I'm saying? So you got to feel pretty bad about that. So now they can taunt him and be like, who that? Or who they? No, that's who they. The Saints is who they. The Bengals is who that.
It really? Is that what it is?
Who they think are going to beat them Bengals?
Yeah.
Who that?
Who that is New Orleans, right?
Yeah, who that?
Who that is New Orleans?
Who that is New Orleans?
Yeah, who
that's
they,
what I, that's it, not what I said?
I'm not sure which one you
I just don't know how the Bengals ever had a chant. Who they think
are going to beat
them
Bengals? Yeah, exactly. How did the Bengals get a chant when they can't even afford a chant?
I don't know.
They couldn't pay the copyright.
Yeah, So I thought that was interesting. Sean Payton going full heel. Drew Brees going to be back with New Orleans, a team that, for once, I don't believe is in salary cap hell. Like, I think for once, they're going to be able to do whatever they need to do to just continue to improve the team. I know, Matt, you have mentioned you think there's a chance that Mark Ingram is
traded. A chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they were able to move him and get another piece that they think they need. We've seen them do it in the past, is all I'm saying. And Kamara is the future. It's the guy that, you know, Peyton's drooled over. The GM's, you know, the GM, it looks like a genius with that pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Mickey Loomis had an absolute fantastic year drafting this past season. Okay, let's do some coaching update. Oh, one more thing on New Orleans, actually, before we move off. Matt, if Kobe Fleener isn't back in New Orleans, because he's been a disaster, as he kind of always is, you're watching them focus.
Zoom on me.
I don't like when they do that.
Whatever. You can see my bags under my eyes, that's for sure.
No, they bring it real close on your face.
I have major bags under my eyes. I'm getting some sleep. But anyway, when it comes to the Saints, Kobe Fleener's not going to be back, or potentially not going to be back. Can Josh Hill be fantasy relevant?
I think Josh Hill could be, but I mean, Josh Hill to me is better than Kobe Fleener.
I agree.
What has Kobe Fleener done? I mean, we saw not even this year. Look back to last year. Him and Breeze never got on the same page. He was open on a bunch of routes and stuff. I have never been a Kobe Fleener guy. Maybe when he first came in, I thought there could be something because of the connection that they had with him and Luck. But, I mean, I drafted him this year. Shame on me. I drafted him and the guy in Detroit, the guy with the brick hands who was great in the fantasy playoffs.
Eric Ebron,
thank you.
Now we can look at the bags under your eyes, Matt Modica. There you go. Can Josh Hill be something, Corey?
No, Josh Hill's a bum.
Well, you said it about a lot of people. You said it about Marvin Jones, too.
Oh, look at this.
But Josh Hill's not going to be like a tight end one.
Right.
But can he be a fill-in guy with Drew Brees? He likes to go to the tight end once they get into that red zone, green zone area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not somebody you're drafting. But right. If he's the starting tight end there, I mean, we've seen guys like, who was it, Ben Watson a mm-hmm. few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can be relevant there.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Sticking in the NFC South, Jason Licht, GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he came out and was relatively honest. He's like, yeah, Doug Martin wasn't the same guy when he came back from his suspension. Doug Martin will not be on this team next year.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Doug Martin shouldn't have been on this team this year, but they had money
right.
that was owed to him. Look, Doug Martin had like two monster seasons. And everybody gets caught up with that, and you're always looking, you know, could this be the third time's the charm for him? This is a divorce that needs to happen. The GM should just be grateful he has his job.
Does Doug Martin stay in the NFL? Or has he played his last game?
I think he latches on somewhere. I think, you know, when you see guys that have had talented seasons in the past, even Trent Richardson, like, he lasted a few cycles.
Yeah.
He'll be a depth guy with an opportunity at some point.
Yeah.
Look, somebody's going to get him for, say, league minimum, invite him to the camp. And as we know with the running back situation, they're going to go down. So an opportunity could arise in that.
Do they draft a back in the first round? Do they do it in free agency?
I think they need defense.
I think
they get a back in the free agency.
So he was the one that I was actually – so interestingly enough, I'm glad you both brought that up. Jason Licht was kind of asked, what's the plan? And like, he's like, we need defense. We've invested a lot of resources on the offensive side of the ball in recent years, from Jameis to Mike Evans to Deshaun Jackson along the line. He's like, we need defense. And it sounds like most of their resources are going to be on the defensive side of the ball. I think they draft the running back in the middle rounds potentially. Mm-hmm. Of course, that will not be Bryce Love. As we said yesterday, Bryce Love – deciding to return to school, and they're going to draft someone there, I think. Obviously, the Jeremy McNichols thing did not work out for them.
Well, it's hard to say that. Oh, no, it's not. He got cut.
Yeah, but
right.
He was like a fifth round.
Right. But a lot of it, you can find guys in the middle rounds, obviously.
No, you can, and I guess Bryce Love isn't coming because he was told he was not going to be, you know, that's the only thing I can think of.
I guess
so. He was going to be like, you know, maybe a third round pick, and he wasn't up for that. I don't know.
I guess so. I'm not really sure what the deal is.
I mean, how much can you love the Cardinal?
I mean, if you like Stafford a lot, you know, it's probably a nice place.
I'm sure it's great, but I like money better.
Yeah, and you're not going to win no national championship.
Yeah. Well, you might like it.
Come on, Chip Kelly's there.
Sorry. Chip Kelly out there in UCLA now that he can't win a national championship. Fine.
Pac-10 school not going to win the national. Pac-12, or whatever. Hey,
please get it right. Please get it right.
Championship.
I mean, Oregon was in the championship game.
They were. They were a couple years ago.
Or was it Mark Helfrich that was there? Well, yeah, one of them was there. So you get that. You don't think USC could win a national championship? The USC.
The USC does have a program. They could win it. Yep.
Stanford and my man David Shaw do too.
I haven't been this excited for UCLA football in years. It's been like well over a decade.
Will you once again be a UCLA fan?
Oh, no. I've still been. You know, I still watch, but I think Chip Kelly is perfect for college football, perfect for the Pac-12. you know, sometimes
he's home.
There's right situations for people. And this is the right situation for him. The NFL was definitely not the right situation.
No, he depleted the Philadelphia Eagles roster, which is a good thing. But unfortunately, they were able to build it back up quickly.
Yeah.
He ran defenses into the ground with the
That he did.
What is it? To run from sideline to sideline. You had to go forward in the NFL, Chip.
He forgot that part. Yeah. But you know what? When he got fired, you know who coached that last game and won? Pat Sherman, next coach of the Giants.
There you go.
How about that? All right, we'll do more coaching updates later on in the program. When we come back, perhaps the biggest one, should Mike Tomlin be fired? We'll break that down next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Hello, YouTube. Welcome inside Studio 34. We are the Roto Expert. To my right, the fantasy executive, Corey Parsons. To my left, Wall Street Matt Modica. And gentlemen, I have a question for you this morning. Should Mike Tomlin be fired as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
There you go.
That's one.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And yet, this story from yesterday, this leaking, was really weird to me. The story that I guess RotoWorld reported and other sources reported, that minority owners with Pittsburgh want Mike Tomlin out.
I guess they don't watch the NFL.
Let me try to figure this out. Like, what does that mean? You minority owners want Mike Tomlin?
I guess the people that's under Rooney.
Yeah.
So when do you have a say in anything?
Exactly. What? What, this guy right here is a chump. Listen, I guess it's the dudes that work under Rooney. I don't know how they leaked this report or whatever the case may be. But can you imagine going into Dan Rooney's office? Art Rooney's office. And this is a franchise that's had three head coaches, right?
Three head coaches in the last 50 years.
And saying we want to get rid of Mike Tomlin. Do you have the courage to do that?
Look what Mike Tomlin's record's been over the last decade. I mean,
He's never had a losing season.
I don't get it.
11 years.
I would implore the Bills should fire their head coach immediately if Mike Tomlin became available and just give him a blank check. Say, how many years? What's your dollar?
They can have Jason Garrett on their sidelines clapping if they would like that. I saw some Steeler fans on the internet Sunday when the game was going on, like, we got to get rid of Tomlin. Tomlin has to go. But that's in the moment. You go to them now, they're going to be like, no, I was just upset. You know what I mean?
Of course.
No, you can't get rid of Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's one of the best head coaches in the NFL. Although, don't get me wrong. You know, we've seen things with the marijuana, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a little bit of dirty play.
Tripping.
But, yeah, tripping. Yeah, tripping by him.
Jacoby Jones.
But they have a little bit of, they ha- that's that edge they have.
And that's the thing I'll give. That tripping play was, that was really was. That's the main stain against them. Really the only thing. As far as marijuana, it's so prevalent.
Yeah, exactly.
It's legal in so many states.
Right.
And all that.
Yeah, you know, I don't believe Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount getting high on Mike Tomlin, probably.
No, you can't. But they have it. But and they've had other little instances, but nothing that would make you say, get rid of Mike Tomlin.
Although it's funny. Remember, it was last year in the playoffs where like Joey Porter went nuts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And he's back on the sideline a week.
But that team has an edge like that. They have that edge to
you
them.
Have to.
You saw Todd Haley get into a fight. You know, Porter's. They have that edge. They're the Pittsburgh Steelers. You want them to be like
that. So how does this report from these minority schmucks leak out?
I don't know. That's
how
crazy.
Does that get out?
Somebody wanted it out there. They're trying to like you used the word yesterday. They're trying to form a coup, maybe.
Right. So interesting. You gotta imagine Art Rooney's like, who the F are you?
Yeah.
Right?
That's why you always want to be a controlling owner. But you want to have the majority chance.
Exactly. And that's certainly what the Rooneys are, obviously, in Pittsburgh. NFL royalty, essentially. That's the Rooneys. So I thought that was a really weird part of the story. Let's go to the next man up in the Pittsburgh coaching staff, right? Let's talk about Todd Haley, your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a problem right here.
So this is a weird story also. And I'm trying to read through the BS, essentially. I was hoping that Corey and Matt, you guys would try to help me understand this a little bit. Now, the story immediately following the game against Jacksonville was Ben Roethlisberger completely throwing Todd Haley under the bus.
Oh, he did it in that press conference.
Was completely throwing him under the bus. Like, I don't know why we haven't run a quarterback sneak in a million years. I'm willing to do it. I don't have the ability to change it at the line. I am not given that opportunity.
He's been Roethlisberger. He should have that opportunity.
But that's what he's almost saying is what he said, whether he has it or not. That's what he said. And you had a bunch of other players call it the play calling. And Mike Tomlin basically responded with, I'm going to have to look at my staff and check out the relationships. Well, how are the relationships between Ben and Todd Haley? I have to really go
in. It's been horrible for years, Mike.
Just telling you what he said. I have to go in and look at the relationships. You're like, all right, Todd Haley has no money left on his contract. Literally, they don't owe him a dime. He's gone. They'll find somebody else. They'll bring Bruce Arians back, right? Like, they'll do something and replace Todd Haley. And then, yesterday, Ben Roethlisberger goes on a radio show, or his radio show, or his radio spot. He said, yeah, I want Todd Haley back. Why wouldn't I? I want continuity. And I'm like, what?
But here's what I don't get. I mean, Ben is a veteran quarterback. Every veteran quarterback should have the ability at the line to audible off of a play.
Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. I mean, that's mind-boggling to me. I mean, as a Bills fan, I remember the K-gun offense, Jim Kelly calling plays. Once you establish yourself in the league, you should be able to say, you know what? You look at the defense, this is the play we should call. I'm not saying everybody should have that right, but, you know, certain people earn that status, and Ben surely has.
Now, the situation with him saying, okay, he's satisfied with Todd Haley, I can understand with him saying he wants continuity. That's very big, especially a older player, a veteran player like that. He doesn't want to have to come in to training camp and learn a new offense. So Todd Haley's going to be gone, but I think there's going to be a situation where somebody close to Todd Haley or somebody in that organization already is going to take over and try to format that off. Who's the quarterback coach? And try to format that offense and run the same offense.
I don't even know they have one.
And they may not, because Todd Haley like complete control. So it'd probably be somebody on that staff to take over for Todd Haley. The thing with Todd Haley is
someone named Randy Fichtner.
That could be the guy. That could be the next OC in Pittsburgh. They just make it as simple as possible. Keep that situation together. As far as Todd Haley goes, he's going to have to look and take a look in the mirror and check himself.
He's been Ben's quarterbacks coach in Philly since 2010.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. Well, I mean, like Corey has stated, really for fantasy purposes,
we love
Todd, him. We want Todd Haley there. And I agree. Ben doesn't want to have to come in, learn a new. If he's coming back, what is he playing, another year or
exactly.
so?
Exactly. He don't want to learn a new offense at this point in his career. You know. Then him and Haley have struggled, but Haley has struggled with everybody in the NFL. I mean, the fact that Mike Tomlin still got this dude on his staff is like, how you, but I guess it's got to be a good cop, bad cop type of relationship between him and some of those players and stuff like that. But Haley's more than likely, I think Haley's gone. I think there'll be somebody in there from that Haley tree. And Haley may not get a job.
So glad you bring that up. So there's a rumor, and we're going to talk about the Arizona coaching situation a little bit later on in the program. There's a rumor that if Mike Munchak gets the job, that he brings Todd Haley with him as the offensive coordinator.
And back
to Arizona.
And Larry Fitzgerald
retires.
And Larry Fitzgerald will retire.
He won't stick around with Todd Haley. Absolutely not.
Yeah, look, Todd Haley will get a job. Look, the Browns are talking about hiring
Ben McAdoo.
That's true, too.
I just think about the blinking guy, like the gift. That's what I think about when I think about that. We'll talk about that later on also. Todd Haley will get a job somewhere. I agree with that. It won't be in Arizona. Larry Fitzgerald was ready to leave the first time Todd Haley was there.
Yep.
Then he left, and you know, Larry Fitzgerald had a nice little career. If Todd Haley comes back, there's no way Larry Fitzgerald stays. In fact, he has said, depending on who the new coach is and the offensive coordinator, that's my decision.
He must have known him. He must have had foreshadowed, like, they bring Todd Haley. Hey, I'm going.
Look, I think if it's Pat Shermer, he stays.
I can see that.
Given all the Adam Thielen love of the slot and the Stephon Diggs, Larry Fitzgerald would have stayed for that. Obviously, it's not happening. So it's going to depend. It's going to depend on who they bring in.
when you have these guys like these, I would like to know, like, what's the mentality of a man like Todd Haley? Like, you know that people don't like you.
I hate you.
What is it about you that you can't, like, self-examine, you know what I mean?
Right.
And try to figure out a way to be more likable. Maybe not change your whole thing up, but you have to do a self-examination. You just can't walk around being an a-hole to people and expect to still be gainfully employed.
Sure, I think that goes back to the Tom Coughlin thing, right? Like, he was on the verge of being fired because he was an a-hole that everybody hated, and he basically sat down with Michael Strahan and he's like, alright, what do I have to do for you guys not to hate me and to try to win? And he's like, well, you need to not be such an a-hole.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't, and then he became like the lovable grandpa Tom Coughlin.
And you're right, but then when they fired him, though, he was mad at that day.
Well, I think sometimes you live long enough to become the villain.
A little Dark Knight reference there, huh? Oh, man, I just listened to a podcast about that, so that was cool.
With who?
It was called The Rewatchables.
Okay, so your homies?
No. It's from The Ringer, and they basically look at all these movies that are rewatchable, and they break it down.
Your joint.
No. It's called The Rewatchables. Check it out. I don't know why I'm advertising for them. They would never
catch
me.
Yeah, but
don't check them out. I don't care. but yeah, so I just find it... What Ben is doing here is just so interesting to me. He throws him under the bus, then, like, tries to drag him out of the bus.
I think he wanted to take a shot.
Yeah.
I think he was pissed. And you know what? I think Ben at some point should have just been like, you know what? I'm calling the quarterback sneak. Sometimes you got to take matters into your own hands.
The thing about it is, you do that, and then you got to deal with Haley after that. You see what I'm saying? And that
might
be
Ben.
That might be a fist fight.
People had a choice who to come back next year, Ben or Todd Haley in Pittsburgh.
No one's choosing Todd Haley.
Yeah.
You know, it's also, as I said, Mike Tomlin's evaluating the entire staff and their relationships. Do you think there's a chance Keith Butler, the defensive coordinator, is gone?
That's interesting right there. I don't know. I think the defense will get a pass because of the injury to Shazier.
Yeah, no, I mean, the defense did change. I mean, against the run, we saw, like, the Packers go in there with Jamal Williams. Like, that was the best week he ever had. He really torched that team. So, and that cost him versus Jacksonville. Not being able to, Jacksonville went out there and punched him in the mouth early.
Mm-hmm.
And Pittsburgh still had a very good chance to win that game. Really, it came down to like three terrible calls, fourth down.
Yeah, three awful, awful calls. And unfortunately, Ryan Shazier's replacement not being able to make a tackle on T.J. Yeldon late in the game.
That was shout out to T.J. Yeldon for
T.J. Yeldon. T.J. Yeldon's had a nice season, a nice playoffs. He contributed a lot in that Buffalo game.
What's his name, Odd, who he does the air odds? Is it Josh Frisco? He pretty much says T.J. Yeldon is basically Joe Mixon, but good.
Yeah.
All year long.
Listen, the certain running backs I watch in college, I think they're going to be superstars. I remember Jamal Charles of Texas, and like, that guy's going to be a superstar. And listen, I'm not always right, because I look at T.J. Yeldon, I'm like, that guy's going to be a superstar. He's that good. It hasn't happened, but he's a talented kid. He really is.
A good football player.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. These guys take a break. I'm going to talk to the king, Scott Angle. I'm going to call him out for the Seahawks thing. Again, it should be fun. So you should watch and listen. We'll be back after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
If you're thinking of giving DFS a try, check out Fantasy Factor. It's the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. With that, we are proud at this time to talk to the host of Fantasy Sports Today. We do it each and every weekday morning at this time, and you can hear Fantasy Sports Today each and every weekday morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern Time, or catch it on demand. You can also listen to him on the Fantasy News Desk every single weekday at 3 p.m. Eastern. He is the Fantasy Sports Writers Association Hall of Famer. He is the king, Scott Angle, and he joins us right now. What's going on, Scotty?
Wow, nice intro this morning, Greg. I appreciate it.
Oh, you got it, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. interesting discussion on fantasy sports today. It's like, you know, Giant fans, you know, when you say they met Ben McAdoo, they recoil in horror. But and then you say, okay, the Browns, this, I was saying this this morning, you hear that name, you recoil in horror. But, you know, maybe this is just a case of a guy being a better coordinator when he was a head coach, because the Giants had top 10 offenses both of his years when he was a coordinator, going from 28 to 13th in total points 1 year and then 6th the next. So, you know, maybe it'll be better for McAdoo to just go back to being a coordinator.
Yeah. No. So Ben McAdoo came over to be that coordinator, as you said, of the New York Giants from the Packers. It was his first time ever coordinating an offense. And when he was given free rein and given an opportunity to take that and continue being the offense coordinator, essentially as the head coach, it didn't work. No. He's terrible. I promise you, Scotty.
Well, I expect that the reaction from a Giants fan, but when you become a head coach, it's still a bigger ball of wax than it is, you know, as a coordinator. So, yeah, maybe McAdoo, I know it's reaction to, like, jump all over this guy, but it wasn't too long ago that people did like him, and, you know, maybe he'll succeed where he didn't as a head coach.
Yeah, you know, he probably won't, so... That's good.
I expect that reaction from you.
I'm just telling you, like, the Packers wouldn't even rehire this guy. So, you know.
Well, he did a good job for the first 2 years with the Giants.
He did an okay job.
Too long ago, you guys liked him.
Yeah, I mean, you liked him enough. But in the last 2 years, as the head coach, just and calling the plays and whatnot, and being an offensive guy, the Giants didn't score 30 points in any game that he coached. Not one.
Well, this year they had a ton of injuries. I think you can look back with a lot of criticism on the year before.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I score 30 points in a game? 30? The damn 49ers can score 30.
Without Odell Beckham in that offense, I'd be surprised if they scored 20.
Odell Beckham played almost every game the year before.
No, I'm talking about this past year.
That's not an excuse. I'm sorry.
I already said the past year you can have your criticisms, but I think it's much bigger responsibility to become a head coach. You still have your foot in a lot of other waters, no matter if you're running the offense or not.
I can't believe
now he can focus just on offense.
I can't believe you're coming on here and defending this idiot. I cannot believe it.
But look, he was a bad head coach the last 2 years.
He's a horrific.
You know, I expect that reaction from you. He was awful the last 2 years. But you know, I think it remains to be seen that maybe if he can go back to being a coordinator, can he turn it around?
All I know is that he's extremely, extremely stubborn, that he ran the same formation in 2 years ago and they had all these offensive pieces. 96% of the time, that's called stubborn and stupid. And that's what Ben McAdoo is.
Oh, yeah. You know, hopefully he's learned from that.
Hopefully he has. I agree. And hopefully, you want to talk about offensive coordinators. Let's talk about your team's offensive coordinator, Scott. Brian Schottenheimer, officially the new offensive coordinator in Seattle. Ken Norton Jr., who got fired from Oakland because he stunk, officially the defensive coordinator in Seattle. What is your team doing?
I don't know. It's like I'm not inspired by any of these moves. I was talking about it on Fantasy Sports today from both an objective and fan perspective. There's not a lot to like. You know, Norton was the linebackers coach when they went to the two Super Bowls. And, you know, maybe he's better as a position coach than a coordinator. He didn't have any talent in Oakland, but still that's no excuse for how bad they were. 29th at the time he was fired. They didn't have an interception. Last in sacks. It's a comfortable hire for Carroll, but I just don't get it. Brian Schottenheimer has never shown me anything. They hired the Giants offensive line coach in Al Solari. It's just like these moves are kind of confounding to me, and I think it's exemplary of the NFL as a whole where these coaches are getting recycled. And, you know, I would have loved to see DeFilippo probably as the offensive coordinator, you know, instead.
Yeah, bringing Mike Solari to be the offensive line coach, certainly not inspiring considering what the Giants' offensive line look like. I don't get it. I really don't get what Pete Carroll is doing. I'm also kind of surprised that Daryl Bevel hasn't, like, wound up somewhere yet.
Well, you know, he's just been fired for 2 weeks. You know, maybe he'll end up as a position coach somewhere. I think with his experience, he's been kind of up and down as a coordinator, but maybe as a position coach. As far as what Carroll is doing there, you know, I think only he knows. I don't believe in any of the talk that he's trying to set up an exit. You know, I don't think Pete Carroll is intentionally trying to lose. I think you know, he's not tolerating not making the playoffs. I was saying this on Fantasy Sports Today. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are the hallmark and the greatest franchise in NFL history, and that's why they're, you know, have such a high standard, and there's this Tomlin talk. And I don't think Pete Carroll's going to tolerate not making the playoffs either. And I wouldn't be surprised if these guys don't, if they don't make the playoffs again next year, if he changes coaches again.
Do you think Pete Carroll will still be the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks in 2 years?
I don't see why not. I think any talk that, you know, just because that happened at USC, I think that's unfounded speculation. You know, both times he left as an NFL coach, he got fired. He's got a very comfortable position in Seattle as executive vice president, head coach. I don't think, you know, I think it's silly to assume that, you know, he's trying to destroy the team here. It's, you know, that's not how it operates. You know, this guy makes so many changes when things go wrong. When he first came in Seattle, he was blowing up the roster left and right. If these coaches don't work out, they're going to be gone.
Why didn't Chris Richard work out, though? Like, you brought in a guy that got fired by Oakland and whose defense turned around and they fired him.
You're not going to get me to defend any of these coaching hires. And, you know, I'm not impressed by any of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just.
But I will say, if these guys don't work out, though, that they might not be long either.
Yeah, this was just really, really confusing to me. I don't.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, Brian Schottenheimer? It's like, you know, I wanted DeFilippo.
Everyone wants DeFilippo. I get it. I get it. I wonder if the Giants hired Daryl Bevel as their offensive coordinator under Pat Shermer. I can see that. I wouldn't even hate that, I don't think.
He's been very up and down. You know, sometimes these guys maybe learn lessons from certain things. But, you know, I think the two Super Bowls were exemplary of Daryl Bevel. There was highs and there were lows. You know, that offense was a big part of what got them there. You know, to both Super Bowls, but then, you know, it was an overthinking call like we talk about at the end of Super Bowl 49.
Yeah. Okay.
Pete Carroll's reactionary. He's reactionary. He signed Jimmy Graham because what happened at the end of Super Bowl 49.
Right.
He's firing these coaches because they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
You know, if these coaches want to keep their jobs, they got to make the playoffs.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, we're going to Scott Angle, the host of Fantasy Sports Today. And if you go over to sportsgrid.com, right now, yesterday, Timmy McCullough published a good piece about the fantasy pros. Love them. What, you know, basically, ultimately, what fantasy sports analysts can't agree on. Seemingly, they can't agree on many things. And then,
yes.
And then, what does this all mean, Scotty?
Well, it's an article about how it's. If you listen to the Tout Wars Hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Lawyer Michaels always brings the guests on and asks them what's their favorite musical artist, what's their favorite movie, etc. And then he put a list together and submitted it to Tim for him to compile about how their favorite musical artists and albums and their movies and actors and stuff like that. And everybody seemed to have a different answer, except when it came to the Beatles, Game of Thrones, Curb Your Enthusiasm and Walking Dead. Nobody else could agree on anything. It was all the way across the board. And if you listen to fantasy analysts, like on our show, they're always going to disagree. They can't agree on anything outside of fantasy sports either.
Hell that. They can't. They probably can't even agree on fantasy sports in general.
No, that's what I'm saying. We know that for sure. I mean, how many debates have we had on this show and always on other ones? And, you know, the musical tastes vary everywhere from the Beatles and Billy Joel to, you know, Aerosmith and, you know, the Smashing Pumpkins. What's one common thread, though, I can see is, though, that most fantasy analysts love rock and roll. But he talked to a lot of fantasy baseball analysts. So you see a lot of older bands in there, like everybody from the New York Dolls to the Beatles.
Kiss.
To Aerosmith.
Yeah.
No, nobody mentioned them, actually.
You weren't interviewed.
Well, they did mention the New York Dolls, who was actually like an influence on Kiss and is in the featured photo, but, you know, and was mentioned by Gene McCaffrey, who will be on the Hall of Fame Hour this week. But it's all like a compilation of guests who have been on the Tout Wars Hour. I think if you interviewed fantasy basketball and football analysts, you might get a more wider-ranging, range of musical tastes here, you know, with hip-hop and more current pop, you know, and things like that, you know, yourself and, you know, other people as well. So a lot of the fantasy baseball analysts, I also think it points to a demographic of, you know, that, you know, a lot of these guys are like into rock and roll. A lot of them are older, but the movies and the TV shows varied all over the place.
Yeah, it just seemed like taking a look at what the guys, the Tout Wars, the Peter the Tout Wars hour is like, is really all old music. Like, can anybody pick something from like the last 20 years, please? I guess like there's a couple
Smashing
people.
Pumpkins
like,
was in there.
Smashing Pumpkins album was out there.
That was probably the most recent.
The Incubus album's on there. That's about it. Oh, Stadium Arcadium. Arcadium is this millennium. That was a popular. Yeah. Chili
well,
Peppers
the
album.
Chili Peppers have been around for a while too. So, you know, it's I guess you pick something else out there, but you know that also goes to you know talk about the state of music. Classic rock bands are still very popular today, even with young people.
Or these people that were interviewed aren't young. One of the two. Scotty, we'll do it all again tomorrow, my friend. Put the phone to it. Come back. Let's talk some baseball with Matt Modica coming up.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
So I was reading yesterday. I like reading random stories about players, and then I get to ask Matt Modica about them. That's kind of how I stumble upon this segment every day. And I was reading that like Danny Duffy got cleared of his DUI. Not cleared of his DUI. Came to a settlement regarding the DUI. Community service and a fine and some alcohol classes, whatever. But I didn't really care about that. I care that he had elbow surgery back like last fall. And will he be ready for opening day? And the rumors are like he should be close enough to opening day that Danny Duffy should be fine. What is Danny Duffy, Matt, and when is Danny Duffy going to be drafted?
He's currently going in 15-teamers, what I'm seeing from January 1st in the 12th round. And as a back-of-the-rotation guy, like you're 4-5, and look, he's pitching in a good ballpark in Kauffman Stadium there. He teases you with upside at times. Everybody got on board and he kind of disappointed. But we're always concerned about injuries with him as well. It seems to always be a thing where, you know, look, hopefully maybe whatever loose bodies he had in this elbow was cleaned up and he's good to go and it's nothing major. But, I mean, it's a guy that I'm not going out of my way to get. But if I can get Danny Duffy and put him as a back-end starter, I'm totally fine with that.
What's interesting to me is, during the break, I don't know if you want to say this on the air because you're in the middle of a draft, but there were three guys you said, I'm choosing between these pitchers. Is Danny Duffy in that crew?
No, he's not. Right
he's
now,
after that crew.
I have to make a decision in the 10th round. It's a draft champion, so it's different. I can't do any in-season pickups. I mean, Marcus Stroman is the safe guy because he gets those 200 innings. And look, I think he's more of a 350 pitcher. You know, mid threes, high threes, anywhere from 350 to 380, I'm fine with. As long as I'm getting those 200 innings, that's the most important thing with Stroman. But the other two guys I'm debating is Lance McCullers and Danny Salazar. McCullers' problem is I think he's always going to have, you know, these 100, just over 100 plus innings. And Salazar, you could say, is kind of the same. But Salazar's upside, too, is just so damn intriguing, as with McCullers, but you can't pick up guys. So, like, for me, if you draft Lance McCullers in a draft, I'm fine with it, like, in the 10th round or so. But later on, and you'll get the discount now that they traded for Gerrit Cole, you draft a Brad Peacock, that's perfect.
So, to draft champions, it makes sense to draft Peacock and McCullers for sure. Like, that's almost like a no-brainer. But when I do want to bring it back to Danny Duffy, though, because it was really just a year ago, Danny Duffy finished 2016 12-3, I believe, a 3.5 ERA or so. That's pretty good. The K-9 ratio is over 9, so that's not bad. Did walk a couple people, 2 walks per 9, which I thought, you know, a little bit high. But, you know, I thought Danny Duffy at 12-3 just in 2016 was probably going to improve, and I thought his draft stock was relatively high last year, came back down to earth a little bit at 9-10. But, you know, Danny Duffy in the 12th rounds, he's like a really, really good value, I thought. No?
No, at that price, yeah, I'm fine with it, like I said.
You're fine, you're
for me,
fine with
he
it.
He would be like a 4 in my rotation. In the 12th round, I'm hoping.
For your staff, not your rotation.
But you have to have the look. Is he going the strikeout percentage? He'll tease you with games where he can strike guys.
Sure.
The strikeout percentage isn't going to be. It's probably going to be below league average. So
okay,
we're entering into that realm there. And in today's age, with all these strikeouts, and to be competitive in certain leagues, where you need to have say 1,400 strikeouts to be top, you know, in that top three, you know it. What else is he giving you? I'm not sure he's a, you know, to me, he's like a 380 kind of ERA guy.
Okay.
You know, he can go over 4. That's a very good possibility. But I'm looking at his upside to me is like 350, 380.
Okay. I think it makes sense. And that kind of goes back. It's funny you say 350, 380. 2017, it was 380. 2016, it was 350.
Yeah, I'm more of, I'm always going to look. Things I look at when I'm looking for pitchers, xFIP to me.
xFIP for Danny Duffy last year was 439, mm-hmm. obviously very high. The year before that, in 2016, 379. That's that 380 number Matt was talking about.
Yeah, it's xFIP. It's, you know, strikeout percentage, ground ball percentage. I like to build on guys that will have ground ball percentage of over 50%
okay.
and a strikeout percentage of 25% or more, if I can make that marriage.
21% strikeout percentage in 2017 for Duffy, over 25 in 2016. Obviously, a much better year for him. We'll take a break. Let's talk about some coaches when we come back. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.